Well, welcome to the first ever digital technology session at the ASA annual meeting. And we're trying something new, and I'm excited about the program we have today. We got some veteran presenters from the ASA and a few of us newbies giving our first talk. Starting out with a veteran, Terry Gray, who's Colorado State, originally biochemist, and he's doing some interesting work on recycling and some of the unintended consequences of trying to dispose of some of our electronics. So without further ado, Terry.
All right, thank you, Tim, and thank you all for coming. I was invited, got involved last year with a course involving electronic waste. What happens to your computer when you throw it away or take it to the recycler or wherever you take it? And a cluster of issues surrounding that. So I'm going to just summarize that 30 lecture course in a 20 minute lecture, and I hope I can get through all of this and weave in some Christian perspectives along the way. And that was part of the course, even though it was at Colorado State University. We had a unit on ethics of this topic and some of the concerns that everybody is concerned about, not just Christians, and also some, there's a lot of social justice related issues that are here. So the sponsor for the course was the Arrow Electronics Corporation, and this course was sponsored at Colorado State under the School of Global Environmental Sustainability, SOGIS, we call it, and also the School of Advanced Materials Discovery, SAMD. So it was a wonderful experience for me to help develop the course and work on it and teach it. It's a combination of chemistry and materials, and we did that technical background. There's a toxicology element in terms of the hazards of this material, and that was of great interest to me. The ethics pieces and the social justice pieces were very interesting. So even though I'm a biochemist and maybe only the toxicology piece was specifically relevant, my interests have grown in the area of energy and environment, and this touches those topics as well. So, how many of these electronic devices do you own? I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but just scan through them. And, you know, we're probably going to typically think about computers and cell phones and e-readers and things like that. But the way that the waste community and the international UN group that works on this, anything that runs on electricity is potentially, that gets to end of life, is e-waste. And so that's battery-operated things, whether they're computers or not. Now, some people restrict the definition. We'll talk a little bit more about that, too. So e-waste that's particularly of concern is things that have circuit boards, and they have special needs. But anyway, our culture, our society, at least if we're in a developed country, electricity is just a given. And it's the background of all of these devices. So take a personal assessment. How new is your mobile phone, your laptop, your desktop computer? Kind of think back over the last few years. How often have you updated your hardware? How often have you bought a new one? When do you plan to buy a new one? How many of you have an iPhone 10? Only Paul. No. iPhone 8? Okay, how about the latest Android phone, Galaxy Note 8? I haven't kept up. There might be a new, okay. So anyway, but just think about when you last bought a new phone device, computer, whatever the kinds of things you have. Be thinking about what you did with the old one. And that's kind of, here's a list of options, traded it in for a discount on a new one, threw it in a drawer and forgot about it.
I put it in a shoebox.
Okay, sold it on Craigslist, smashed it to smithereens with a sledgehammer. That's what I want to do with my printers and printer scanners. And I've not done that yet, but throw it down in the street and smash it up. Give it to your little brother, little sister, mom, grandma. Throw it in the trash, watch it go to the landfill. Dissect it to learn how cell phones work. Or, my favorite here, dissolve it in acid to extract the gold. I gave this seminar at Colorado State to the chemistry department to sort of introduce the course, and there was actually a student who had done that. You can actually buy printed circuit boards on eBay. They sell even ones that have their little attachment, those gold fingers they call them, cut off, and you can buy them by the kilogram for a few hundred dollars. And you know if you take the effort, you can extract the gold from those and make a profit on that transaction. Okay, so more seriously though, less scrambled. Used electronics get stored in a drawer often, or a closet, or sometimes there's a history now of things being taken to recyclers. Recyclers don't really know what to do with this stuff sometimes, and they just put it in a warehouse. And so there are warehouses full of CRT, the monitors, old style monitors. Because we don't know what to do and how to deal with the lead and the toxic material there. And so that's an interesting problem, and we'll say a little more about that later, but the idea of tying up these resources that are found in these electronics, it's sort of like they're gone. You haven't done anything bad to them. You haven't put them in a dump or a landfill or anything, but they're just not accessible, not available. It's a used up resource, and until we learn to recycle them, tear them apart and get the, especially the valuable metals back, we may be running out of some of these things, like indium that's used in your touchscreen. Sold on the secondhand market, of course, that just delays the ultimate disposal, but it's an important component here. Refurbished, repaired, sold on the refurbished market. So take the thing apart and sell your hard drive or your power supply or whatever. Okay, landfilled. I think most of us probably live in places that forbid the dumping of electronics in landfills. But, electronics are becoming so ubiquitous. I'll mention the Internet of Things. Some of you are wearing electronics, soon enough they'll be in all our clothes. What are you going to? You going to throw those away, or are you going to take them to the hazardous waste dump? Okay, it's going to change the way things work. Now, this fifth bullet is one that has caused the world to draw attention to this. So, the West, the United States, and Europe, in particular, at least in the past two or three decades, typically don't want to deal with electronic waste. And so, but there are people and places who do, because they can make a better living off of handling and managing and recycling our electronic waste than they can make as subsistence farmers in their own land. And so China is one of the biggest stories, and just invite you to go to the internet and look at some of that work. That's changing now, and you've probably all heard about China's not taking our plastic anymore, and Fort Collins actually changed what kinds of plastic they were willing to recycle, because you can't get rid of certain kinds because China doesn't want it anymore. But when China cleans up its mess, it just goes to India or to Ghana or to Palestine or, And there are these people and vendors buy our electronic waste. It gets shipped very cheaply because of the cheapness of the inexpensiveness of shipping back shipping containers, because there's so much of a unidirectional flow. And so we got to get the shipping containers back to China somehow. Might as well load them up with trash, and then have the Chinese buy the trash and dump it in a pile and have the poor people there process it and make a living off of that. That's what's happening. But all of those computers typically go through the secondhand market kind of thing. Parts are mixed and matched to make working models. They creatively use circuit boards and microprocessors to build signs and make new things. And then ultimately, they will remove this valuable metals and sell them on the scrap metal market. And you know, this mention of the dissolving these things in gold to get the gold out. Well, you know, they do that on the street. They've done that on the street in China and have made a living from that. But it's very dangerous, very hazardous, very toxic for all of them. All right, shredded in a modern recycling facility or robotically disassembled by the manufacturer. That's kind of an interesting one. The Apple is, if you watch some of their Liam and Daisy commercials. Okay, so 3 R's of the waste industry. We're all familiar with that. Reduce, reuse, recycle, recover. Short-term and long-term kinds of things there. So reduce and reuse are definitely short-term, getting the longest life out of a device, recycle and recover for the long term. I've kind of invented a fifth one, and I don't even know if that's a real word. I mean, I know repository is a real word, but to reposit, it's interesting that some of these materials are in such low quantities in these devices, and they're so small that it's not worth recycling them or getting that material out. So maybe a strategy is to just, you know, pile them up in a warehouse like we did with the CRTs. And someday we'll have enough to make it worthwhile, and maybe we'll have methods and techniques to do that. So it doesn't take very much. I've got a slide here in a minute. I'll just mention it here. All of the iPhones that have ever been made, just over a billion now, can be piled up, you know, close packed, tight fitted, and they can all fit in your super Walmart. And it's only half full of the 20-foot ceiling Walmart store. So all the talk about watches, smart watches, and things like that. All right, so categories of e-waste. Again, I mentioned this a little bit. We typically will think of small IT and screens and monitors, but the community that's working on this includes light bulbs, incandescent, fluorescent, and LED lights. But the right-hand column there is, you know, where all the mass is in e-waste. All right, so small equipment, appliances, large equipment, made in bigger appliances, and printers, and solar panels, and heat exchange, temperature exchange equipment, refrigerators, air conditioners, and heat pumps, and so on. Okay, so here is the amount of e-waste that was generated in 2016. I think these are the numbers for that. So you can see these are megatons, and so 0.7 in the lamp category, 3.9 megatons in the small IT category, 6.6 in screens, and that includes laptops and tablets as well. Heat exchange equipment, 7.6, and you see the numbers. The total number is 44.7 megatons. Only 8.9 megatons of that is documented as being properly handled and recycled. We're expecting to have that go up, so, you know, it's a 5 to 10% increase every year. Okay, I want to give you a quick feel about how much is 40 megatons. Okay, how much space is that? This is a back of the envelope calculation. I'm not going to work through the details, but you know, the idea, basic idea, e-waste has twice the density of water, we'll estimate, with the metals and other stuff in there. There's plastic in there too, but we'll just roughly say that that's what it is. And so 40 megatons is 40 times 10 to the 12 grams. And if you convert that to a volume, okay, using the density, you end up with 20 times 10 to the 12 cubic centimeters. Okay, now we probably don't think about that very much, but a kilometer cubed, right? And so you know what a kilometer is, just, you know, 0.6 of a mile. And so a cube of that is 10 to the 15th centimeters cubed. If you think in terms of that cube, but I like to think in terms of you know, try to get a handle on this. So we have a reservoir near town that is 0.2 kilometers cubed, so 6.5 miles long, half mile wide, and 200 feet deep at the deepest. There's a satellite image of that. So that's the 40 megatons is 0.02 kilometers cubed. Okay, that's from the previous slide. So that's 1 year's worth of e-waste. So we can take all the world's e-waste and throw it in a horsetooth reservoir, and in 10 years it would be full. Now, in one sense, that's kind of a shocking number. That's a huge geological thing. But in another sense, especially out west, there's just lots of space. And if you just pile stuff up, you know, build a mountain, and you know, this is what they do back east, right? You build mountains out of trash and turn them into ski resorts. Okay, so here's the Super Walmart thing, and again, I'm not going to go through the details of the calculation. 7 billion cell phones of all brands over the history of the modern cell phone. So 7 Super Walmarts, you know, half full each, could fill that up. So if we need to store those for a while until we figure out a good strategy, I need to get going. Just to compare this to solid waste in general. Okay, so 40 megatons, that's the number you should have in mind. So in the U.S., it's 230 million. So 230 megatons of solid municipal solid waste. And worldwide, it's, you know, 1,300 megatons, 1.3 billion tons a year. So, you know, e-waste is a small fraction, but we worry about e-waste because two things, and I'll spend a little time on each of these, but time is running out. It's hazardous waste. There's toxic materials, and historically there have been even more toxic materials than there are today in our electronics. And then secondly is the resource issue that I mentioned. There's valuable materials that we, you know, someday we're going to mine our landfills for all the valuable stuff that we threw in them. So maybe it's better not to throw it in there and get it out now with some good technologies. Okay, so I'm interspersing some Christian perspectives, and I'm not going to read this whole text to you. You're very familiar with it, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. But the whole idea of consumerism, and Ian talked a little bit about that last year with energy, and you know, a lot of this generation of electronics and new electronics and having the latest greatest thing is just driven by a problematic lifestyle choice and the ability to buy things that maybe we don't need but that we want, and to, you know, buy the latest greatest just because we can, and not worry too much about the environmental and e-waste consequences. So this is the passage from the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth. You should focus on the kingdom of God. And, you know, we don't have to just look at that passage for what we brought into the world. We can take nothing out of it. But if you have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. Okay, have you ever seen a hearse with a U-Haul that carries all of your electronics with you to heaven? Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions, give to the poor. You have treasure in heaven, then come follow me. Paraphrase, sell your iPhone 10 and give to the poor. But we don't. It's not just the Christian tradition, right? Here's some quotes from the Dalai Lama. So to skim those, human happiness and human satisfaction must ultimately come from within oneself. It's wrong to expect some final satisfaction to come from money or from a computer. Okay, similar quotes there. Here's some quotes from the Quran, similarly. And, you know, we don't even need to go to religion, all right? So Thoreau, cultivate poverty like a garden herb, like sage. Do not trouble yourself much to get new things, whether clothes or friends. Things do not change, we change. Sell your clothes, keep your thoughts. Socrates, the secret of happiness is not found in seeking more, but in developing the capacity to enjoy less. Richard Foster, more modern, we really must understand that the lust for affluence in contemporary society is psychotic. It is psychotic because it has completely lost touch with reality. We crave things we neither need
or enjoy.
So that's, I think that's an important perspective to frame kind of the discussion. There's my beat up iPhone 6. I'm still using it. I do think I'm due for an iPhone 10, but I didn't buy it the day it came out. So, you know, I'm going to wait a year, year and a half, and, you know, this thing's slowing down, and I've replaced the battery once, but all right, so toxicity of e-waste. What's fascinating is that companies like Apple, for example, is now listing things that they've now taken out of their computers and devices. So arsenic-free, brominated flame retardant-free, PVC-free, beryllium-free, mercury-free, recyclable aluminum, so meets Energy Star version requirements. Okay, those things have all been in electronics for various reasons. Some of them are hazardous. All right, here's just a summary of some of the technical background of the toxicity. But these materials that are used as plasticizers in the plastic that's insulating your wires, that's in the circuit boards themselves, contain these chemicals that are endocrine disruptors and carcinogens, and we dump them out into our landfills, and they're ubiquitous around the world now, and they affect development. They affect a lot of the complex endocrinology and action of hormones in fish and animals and in humans. And that's not just, there's also then the toxic metal side of lead and arsenic and cadmium and so on. Okay, then there's this value. This is an old statistic, but it makes the point. So obsolete cell phones, 500 million in 2005. Okay, so that's a long time ago. 7,900 tons of copper valued at $17 million. Okay, 178 tons of silver, $31 million. Gold is really good, 17 tons of gold in 500 million old cell phones, $199 million. Okay. And then platinum and palladium. And then there's this list of critical materials, yttrium, neodymium, the europium, terbium, rare earths that are used in magnets and in the phosphors and the touch screens and so on. And so this technology is very dependent on this. And there are many, many others. Here's just if you go to the slides later, you can go to that YouTube video. This is a video documenting the e-waste dump in Ghana, Accra, Ghana, Akba Bloshi, and there are others. And like I described earlier, there's you dump this out, and poor people go and basically mine and recycle stuff in very unhealthy ways. Here's another version of that. It's a little more high tech. This is the largest rare earth mine in the world, in Mongolia, and that's a satellite image of the tailings pond from this. So we have a rare earth mine in our country. It's now closed because, you know, we don't put up with the environmental damage that the Chinese are willing to put up with, so we buy our rare earths from them, let them pollute their world, and we keep our world here clean. So that raises this other concern, this NIMBY issue, not in my backyard. There was a sign that I found in rural Indiana about a wind turbine debate. But, you know, we don't want to deal with the electronic waste. We don't want to deal with the damage caused to the environment by mining things to get what we need. And we push it off to poor people or people who don't have power to keep those decisions from happening. And so, you know, again, another collection of things, of scripture and biblical principles, especially caring for the poor and serving your neighbor, serving others. You know, this issue of the rich West taking advantage of poor Chinese, poor Indians, poor Africans to deal with our junk and waste and so on. Okay, there are other perspectives because people make a living from this. And, you know, that's an interesting book if you want to read up on how our junk gets sent to other places and these other people make a living and find value and do good things with them. All right, I know my time is up here. Let me just get to a couple more perspective slides. You know, this is an issue, conflict minerals. Some of the stuff we're buying, the money that we pay to have our cell phones work right, is being used to sponsor wars and revolutions and insurgencies and so on in other countries, especially this part of the world. And recently I read, these are very complicated issues. We've passed legislation so that we don't do this, but now since that source of revenue has dried up, because those rules are actually doing their job, the insurgents and the gangs are now robbing the locals and getting ways to get their money other ways. And it's actually harmed folks in those neighborhoods. There are efforts and regulations and NGOs and different groups that are trying to increase awareness about these issues. And one of those is the Basel Convention is international legislation to prevent this evil tragedy from happening. And then the Basel Action Network is an NGO that's tried to raise awareness. And some of those videos come from them. Yep?
What happens if I throw electronics or batteries in the regular trash?
Hopefully you get arrested.
I try not to, but I see it happen all the time. Right. So what happens?
Right. Well, it might get sorted at the landfill. It might not. And then the toxic stuff is in the landfill, and all the problems with hazardous wastes in the public dump areas, and the potential damage they can cause are there. All right, I'm going to stop. Like I said, there's more slides, but
check it on the website.
I can. I don't know if we have time for one question, maybe.
I'm not sure. Is Tim Opperman here? The guy who's our third speaker? So we may have a little time. Okay. So take one question.
Just wanted to suggest that ASAers are among the rest of the offenders in this area. And we need to be a little more mindful. If you look out right outside the door here, you'll see two trash cans. One is for things that can be recycled. One is things that cannot be recycled, but we have to know what the difference is. And both trash cans contain roughly an equal amount of mixture of both things.
And why should there be anything that's not to be recycled? I mean, where does the non-recycled stuff go?
I'm just saying it requires some knowledge that we need to be mindful about.
Every town is different, every state is different, and every year is different on what's recyclable and what's not.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.